such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world, down on creation, and the only explanation I can find. Something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves on the trees and the touch of the breeze is a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one wish on my mind. When this day is through, I hope that I will find that tomorrow will be just the same for you and me. All I need will be mine if you are here. I'm on the top of the world, down on creation, and the only explanation I can.
Good morning. So you heard a beautiful song, I am on the top of the world. When the spirit, when the soul is in the stage of happiness, whatever that is within our heart, that is revealed on our face, in our words, and everything that we do. So the singer says, the poet says, I am on the top of the world. Why I am on the top of the world? Because you are with me. As if all my dreams have come true. As if everything that I wished for is getting materialized. Because you are around me. So whenever in life such a moment comes where suddenly what we desired, what was our long felt wish comes true, suddenly the soul is bubbling with joy, with enthusiasm. And what is the deepest desire of a soul? What is the deepest desire of a human being? Any one of you? What do we desire in the depth of our heart, in the heart of our hearts? Every human being for that matter. What do you think? Yes, sister? Happiness and? Peace and love and? What else? Balance. The deepest desire which is there ingrained within us. Purity. And? What else? All the answers are true. There is a deep desire in the soul for bliss, for joy, for love, for divine union. So that is the deepest desire in the subconscious mind. But the thing is that, the irony of the thing is that, I can explain you with a very short story. In one kingdom, there was a king. And that king used to love his daughter too much. And one day he got a beautiful golden necklace for her. And the daughter fell in love with that necklace, so much so that she would not leave that necklace at all, at any moment. All the time it was around her neck. But one day an unfortunate event happened. When she got up in the morning, she found that the necklace is not there. It's stolen. And there was a hue and cry, and they were searching people and the soldiers were searching, where is the necklace, where is the necklace? And the daughter, the princess, was in deep anguish and sorrow because her beloved necklace was gone. So there were many speculations and many conjecture and guessings around, and somebody said some bird must have taken it, because everywhere all search was done, every room was ransacked, but nothing was found. So ultimately they thought ki probably some bird, but whatever it is, the princess said I want it. So the king made an announcement that whosoever gets that necklace would get a handsome price if anybody searches that necklace. So the search was going on, the hunt for that necklace everywhere. There was a young man who was going by that palace, and there was a very dirty pond around. And in that dirty pond, as he was walking past by that pond, he saw something is shining there. And he knew that the princess's necklace has been stolen. So he thought, this must be necklace. So he stopped there and he put his hand into that, but it disappeared. He came out. Again, something was glittering there. He thought, I was not very careful. This time I would. He enters into the water and tries to take hold of it, but again it disappears. He comes out a little frustrated. Third time he enters fully into the water, but again his whole clothes and everything becomes dirty because the water was very, very murky. But again nothing comes in his hand. And when he comes out again, the thing is shining out there. So he is all the more confounded, puzzled. By that time, a sage is walking past that way. One fakir was going that way. So when he looks at this young man, he says, What is the matter? You look troubled. But such things should not be revealed to even to religious people, because he thinks, what is the guarantee? Even this sadhu, this fakir might wish to get it if I tell him the truth. So he says, nothing, it's okay. So the sage says, just tell, I will help you. So he says, in this kingdom, the necklace of the princess has been stolen and a handsome prize has been announced. And you can see, I can also see, that necklace is there right in front of us in the water. It's shining. But whenever I'm trying to get it, nothing is coming in my hand. What should I do? The sage says, a beautiful answer. He says, the necklace is not there. Necklace is hanging up there on the tree branch. It's dangling up there. It's not there where you are searching. What you are searching is the artificial. What you are searching is the reflection. What you are searching is not the real. It is unreal. The real, the true, is up there, above. What happiness exists in the world is just a reflection, mere reflection of the happiness that is existing above. It is not the true happiness. The real happiness comes not from the things which are below, but things which are above. And that is the basic mistake. The real thirst of the soul is for the love. But the love which we are searching is here, in the murky water, in the sensual pleasures, in the sensual desires. But the real love, the real pleasure is not here, but it is somewhere here, up above. It's there in the world of spirit, in the world of spirituality, in the world of God. And that's why so much sorrow, so much suffering, so much misery in the world, because everybody is searching the pond which is below. And that's why the world, it's world family, one family, but it has been divided into so many religions. You know, according to one estimate, how many religions are there in the world? 4,300 religions. Total religions in the world. 4,300 religions in the world. And what is the aim of these religions? To reach God. What is the aim of all the religions? To reach the ultimate state of happiness, peace, world peace. But I will tell you one figure. In last 2,500 years, there were about 3,000 wars fought in the world. In last 2,500 years. And who fought this war? The religious people. The atheist, the theist who believed in God. So if you go by calculation, there were only about 200-300 days where there was no war in the world. But then these days were the preparation of the war. So in the ultimate analysis, the world has become peaceless in spite of the fact that best of the religious people are there, in spite of the fact that best of the religious founder came on the earth, and yet this is the state of the affair. Something has gone amiss, something has gone wrong. And what is that wrong? And how can we correct our mistakes? That is what is the goal. So as you all said, the thirst of the soul is for peace, is for purity. Why is it that we enter any mosque, any temple, any gurudwara, any religious place, any sacred place, suddenly we start feeling calm and quiet? And enter into any airport or railway station, in the super bazaar, the vibrations are very different. And in religious places, the vibrations are different. This is an experience of everyone. Because the thoughts have become polluted. What I think creates a vibrations. And those vibrations, they penetrate the atmosphere. Thought is a thing. Just as you have this mic, you can put it and keep it somewhere. In the similar manner, thoughts are also things. You keep them and put them somewhere. They are invisible, but they are things. And every thought has got vibrations that spread around, that creates a vibration around and around and around. And whatever thoughts I create, they go into atmosphere. And there is a chemical reaction between atmosphere and thoughts, and the situations are created. That's what we call law of attraction. That is what the like attracts the like. I think, I am poor, I am poor, I am poor, I am poor. The thoughts of poverty is going into the atmosphere. And there is some invisible reaction, and situations are created that make me all the more poor. I am spiritless, I have no enthusiasm, I am so weak, I am imbecile, my intellect is not good, people are progressing so much, they are so intelligent, I am not intelligent. Thoughts of inferiority complex penetrate into atmosphere, and the same thing comes back to me, like attracts the like, and I become all the more poorer, weaker, less intelligent. This is what is the principle of the entire universe. Law of attraction says that. So, coming back to the same question, what is my deepest desire? What I want in my life? Outside wealth, material success, comforts, conveniences, relationships. In fact, all these things are necessary. But my basic thrust is to search myself, is to be within myself. My basic thirst is not for outside relationships. My basic thirst is not that. You know, one beautiful sentence, soul is infinite. And infinite cannot be satisfied by anything which is finite. No matter somebody gives me my wife, my brother, my sister, my husband, my friends, my parents, no matter whatever love they give me. But I will not get satisfied because they all are finite beings. The thirst of the soul is satisfied only by the ultimate, the supreme. And that's why they say love him above all. He who is the father of the world, who is the God of the world, who is the ultimate reality of the world, only he can satisfy the soul. So, with this background, first I would like to ask you what you would like to hear. Or rather, then it becomes a unilateral lecture. We will engage in some constructive, some creative spiritual talk or discussion. So first let me know your thoughts so that I can progress ahead. So that we can have a very good discussion which is not based on any particular religion, any caste, any creed, any nation. Who has formed this nation? This is we who have created the boundaries. Nothing is there like that. Just we are all on the same platform. Our dresses are different. Our languages may be different. But basically who we are? We are the spirits. We are the souls. So our basic thirst remains the same. And basic goal of life remains the same. No matter which religion you path you follow. I would like to listen something from you first. Anything. Anything. What do you think? Anything. Any thought? Yeah? Anything? There was a Sufi saint. His name was Bayjid. And that saint used to think that I want to change the world in his childhood. I want to change the entire world. That spirit was there. He was sort of revolutionary. So Bayjid used to think that I want to change the whole world. And when he became young, at young man, he understood that no, it's not possible to change the world. It's very difficult. I had tried everything. Probably it is not possible to change the world. But yes, I can change my society. Where I am living, this entire society, samaj, I will change this whole community. So he had that spirit. Okay, let me change the community. The next few years he worked on changing his community. And when he became middle-aged, he understood it is not possible to change the community. And he decided, but I have my family under my control. I'll change my wife. I'll change my children. They will get transformed. The whole world will get transformed. So he worked for next few years on changing his wife, making her more and more religious, making his children more and more religious so that they give up the atheist way and they become theist. And towards the end of his life, when he became old man, he decided, he understood, I can't change anybody. I can't change my wife. I can't change my children. There is only one person in the world whom I can change. And who is he? I, myself. So the change begins with me. The transformation begins with me. I don't have to work on anybody. I don't have to teach anybody. I don't have to tell them, do this, do that. Because everyone is so different. And we never know whether they would really understand me or not. Will they really understand me? Will they really understand what I want, what is there within me? Probably not. So there is only one person. So the change begins with me, or rather I am the change. When I change, the world changes. That's it. I can't do anything with anybody. People are unruly, people are rude, people are bad, people have sometimes violent. Can I do anything with them? Really, can I do anything? So many religious founders came and they taught peace. But ultimately what happened? So something I have to work. So you know the definition of religion in one word. Religion is realization. That's it. It means realization. Religion doesn't mean dogmas. Religion doesn't mean principles. Religion doesn't mean scriptures. Religion doesn't mean any book. Religion doesn't mean tradition. Religion doesn't mean rituals, ceremonials, or some gathering, or some community. It means deep realization, where I realize my own unity with the entire universe. So before we progress further, we will just sit in meditation for 2 minutes. Any position, whatever position you are, a very short, deep within, a short journey we will take within ourselves. If you want, you can close the eyes. Both feet relaxed. Mind very calm. Body completely still. A deep experience of peace. Let me go within. Let me search myself. Who I am. What is my real nature? What is my deepest desire? What I am searching in life? What is the goal of this life? Am I on the right track? Enough that I have talked with the world. Today, let me talk with myself. The atmosphere is infused with divine peace. Where is that pure heart? Where is that innocent mind? Where is that childlike simplicity? Am I lost in the complexities of this world? If life is a circle, am I moving only on the circumference? Throughout the day, for how much time I remain at the center? Who I am at the center, and what I am showing to the world. What is my real nature? Is the name of the body my real nature? Is the religion of my body is my real nature? because I am born in a particular family, am I belonging to only to that community? What is my relationship with the world? Is it not that I also want an extremely peaceful life? But am I peaceful? Am I running so fast that I have lost sight of the ultimate goal of life? Today, let me begin my journey to the center from the periphery. What is my core and basic nature? Peace is my nature. Peace is my religion. Happy with my own life? Am I struggling for happiness? Is it not that happiness is my very nature? I am a blissful soul. I am a happy spirit. Total silence. On the eyes. So our journey is the journey of peace. Our journey is a journey which is within us. There is deep somewhere who is thirsty sitting inside, who needs peace, who needs happiness, and happiness and peace is not in the din and glamour of the world. It's a journey of silence. It's a journey of deep silence. And the more one becomes silent, all the secrets of the universe, they come back to us automatically. We get to understand things which are hidden, things which are esoteric, mysterious. So, wherever we are, whichever place we live, whatever language we speak, our basic goal is same. Now the question is how to reach that goal, where we are in total harmony with everyone, where there is harmonious relationships. If you see today's world, two persons are in conflict, everybody is fighting, And they do not know the cause, the reason for why they are fighting. And that's the scenario of the world. Now I would, as I said, I would like to hear from you anything which you would like to discuss, or anything, some spiritual talk or spiritual discussion, or anything which is there, which is making you heavy, and you feel that that is not just your question, but the question of many. Any such thought? Yeah. Of discovering myself. Yeah. So the question is, I am in the process of discovering myself, and outside there are situations, challenges, adverse situations, difficult people, and amidst this ocean of complexities, difficulties, intricacies of life, how to go within, how to discover. The first important thing which you said was, at least you have developed that desire. You know, there was a German philosopher, Immanuel Kant. He was out and out pessimistic, but he was always troubled and disturbed by the life questions. So he would spend whole night thinking about who I am, what I am. One night, whole night he was awake. And at around 3 o'clock in the morning, he left his house and started walking on the street. He reached one garden, and there was, he was muttering something or talking with himself. The gardener suddenly got up. Who is there early morning at 3 a.m.? And he took his lantern and came out and asked, "Who are you? What are you doing? What do you want from where you have come?" He asked, the gardener asked that man who entered his garden, "Who are you? What are you doing? What do you want from where you have come?" Immanuel Kant said, "This is what I want to know. These are my very questions of life. Who I am, what I am, from where I have come, and what is the purpose of my life, and what I am doing." So the first step towards discovering oneself is inquisitiveness, means curiosity. We have lost the curiosity. You know, a child. This morning we had gone to the beach, and I collected not many pearls from there, some shells. In this world, if you see a small child playing at the seashore, you feel it's a waste of time. But that child is inquisitive. That child wants to know, what is this, what is that, what is wave, what is ocean, what is sun, what is sky, what is moon, what are clouds. He is so full of enthusiasm, so full of curiosity. But as we grow up, the curiosity is gone. So the first thing in any discovery is the curiosity to know. What is it? Become a small child again. Become small child and look at everything with wonder. Oh, what is this? Oh, what is that? When such a curiosity arises, then the journey starts. Without curiosity, journey doesn't start. So that basic curiosity should arise within us, of knowing who I am, what I am, what is religion? What is this? What is that? What is this? What is that? Everything. Inquisitiveness, it is known as. You know, there is an English book, Sense of Wonder. Sense of Wonder by Rachel Carson. This lady wrote this book when she was at the age of 70 or 75. She understood at the age of 75 that I have not lived my childhood. I want to become a child again. So she made a friendship with 3-year-old boy. this author made a friendship with 3-year-old boy and followed that boy for next 2 years till the boy became 5-year-old. And she did everything whatever the boy did. The boy crawled, so she also started crawling. Because she wanted to do everything whatever. The boy would jump, she would jump. The boy would go there, she would go there. The boy would play with toys, she would play with toys. An experiment she did. Because in their old age, she understood, I have not lived my childhood. And she said, after 2 years being with that child, I felt life is so different. The sense of wonder. The book, name of the book is Sense of Wonder. Entirely different experience she had. Because that curiosity got awakened. Curiosity to know what is what. What are things? Don't accept anything because it is written in book. Don't accept anything because it is written in scriptures. Don't accept anything because it is said by such and such person. Don't accept anything because it has been hallowed by religious traditions. Find the truth yourself. That is what is the goal. That is the first step. The desire to know. I don't accept anything which is written already. All the scriptures are written. I will take the example of Islam only. How the Sufism came out of it. There was a sort of internal revolt. On one side, there is an ultimate belief that this is to be done, this is to be done. But then there was a group of people who said, no, we love him as our beloved. But that is not allowed. But then that group flourished. And so many things are there, as you all know. So, there was an inquisitiveness in the heart to know something more than what is written in the books. Because our spiritual experiences are something which transcends the books. All books, no matter what book it is. So, the first desire that should develop in us is to know curiosity. That is the first step. The second step is silence. I will tell you, in my life, when I was 16-year-old, so I had given my 12th standard exam. Okay. After that, my father wanted me to become doctor. And in India, there is one medical college. And in that medical college, it's at Sevagram. That medical college has got 4 subjects for entrance. Physics, chemistry, biology, and one more topic was Gandhian thoughts. The life of Mahatma Gandhi. Because Mahatma Gandhi has got an ashram over there, a small place is something there. So that medical college is an autonomous body. So my father got some books for me to read. And I started studying those books. The name of the book was The Story of My Experiment with Truth by M.K. Gandhi, autobiography. So, my aim was, I was a very naughty child, like all other children. And my aim was just to pass the exam so that one get admission in the medical college. You have to just pass it somehow. Just learn by rote and learn and give it the exam and pass it. So I got that book in my hand, The Story of My Experiment with Truth. First chapter, second chapter, third chapter. I started reading. In the book, the author said, I did the act of stealing. I spoke falsehood. I lied to my father. And my father was pained because of my lies. I smoked bidis and cigarettes. Mahatma Gandhi is writing like that in his book, in his autobiography. And when I was reading that, I felt as if just as author repented, I should also repent. Though I had not done anything like that. But I felt that I should also do the same thing, what is written there. And as I was reading, I went in silence. And next 6 months, I never talked with anyone. Anyone means not a single word. So much silence. And during that phase of 6 months silence, so many things came to me. Some subtle understanding of life. As if I was going towards worldly path, it turned and I started moving towards spiritual path. And I tried to understand what are religions. And I started through Hinduism. Then gradually, as I said, for 6 months, no talk. And then one book was there in my house. And then another book was Love of God by a Christian Saint Francis. In that book, the author was describing love of God, how he misses God, Saint Francis de Sales. And whilst reading that book, I became all the more silent, and suddenly, in those periods of silence, I didn't talk with anybody. Even the religious people, I started visiting all the religious institutions of the world. I began with Hinduism, almost all the crass, different sects, different creeds, different organizations. And once I finished Hinduism, then I entered into comparative study of all the religions. Islam, Sufism, Sikhism, Buddhism, all. And not just reading, but I started following it. And then my result of 12th standard came and I got admission into medical college. As 4.5 years in the medical college, very busy. But on another side, there was a pull of spirituality. So every day I used to go to some temple, some religious place, mosque, and sit there outside and see what these people do. I was very 20 years watching people doing what they are seeing, what these Muslims do. What the Sikh people do, what Hindu people do. In the Buddhistic monasteries, I started going. And there was a church. For 3 months, I visited only church. Forgot all the Hinduism and every other thing. Let me see what they do. Let me see what all things these people do. And these were the periods of internal transformation. My journey started, as you said, with that inquiry, with that spiritual curiosity. I went into silence, a very deep silence that remained unbroken. My father was worried. What has happened? Let us take him to the doctor. He has stopped speaking. They were worried because this never they had seen before. But they had no idea about what was going on within me. So 12th standard result came. I got admission into medical college, 4.5 year into medical college. And during that period also, whenever I would get time, I would start searching. My search was for the ultimate. I finished my MBBS. All students went home, holidays. I did not. I stayed in the hostel because I realized that sparkle which was ignited, the first turning point of life. And during the MBBS, there were a lot of upheavals. And now that needs to be rekindled. And that's why I stayed there only. And again, for 7-8 days, I went in silence. The second turning point of life. And then the internship started. And I was intern, you know, in medical college, there is an internship where you have to work in different departments, ortho, medicine, surgery, gynae, obstetrics. For 1 year, I was working. And people would say, you are very sincere. But actually that was not my sincerity, because I understood to serve human being is serving God. And so I was fired. It was like passion. All other interns were busy in studying for the PG, post-graduation, MD. I was busy in serving. Not because I don't want to, I want to learn something. No, not for that reason. because I understood these are the manifestations of divinity, higher power. So serving. So internship finished. Now what? Third turning point. My brother also was a doctor. He was 2 years junior to me at some other place in Nagpur. So I went to my brother and stayed in his room for studying. For studying for post-graduation entrance. 2 months probably I must have studied. And later on again I started roaming here and there. Every day one religious institution. Every day one religious institution. And there were, in Nagpur, there was old books. So I read almost whatever that was available. Aurobindo and this Ramana Maharishi, Islam, Sufism, each and every book, whatever there, which I could get. And this was the again third period of silence. I went in silence again. Again the deep search. What is life? What is truth? What is what? Is this medical profession everything? Just there is a patient and you save the body of the patient and the patient is happy and gone. That's it. Or there is something else which is not written in the medical books. What is the truth? So that truth made me more the more restless, the desire to know the truth. And then one day there was one spiritual institution, it's known as Ramakrishna Math and Mission. I went there and I sat and I became bodiless. People were sitting. They were all celibates, brahmacharis or about to become sannyasis. I sat with them and there was some song going on and I became bodiless. Every day it started happening. Every day I started visiting that. And every day new experience would come to me. Then I started visiting different institutions again in that place, new place, in my brother's place. There was one person, Tajuddin Baba. He was a great Islamic saint who is worshipped in India. So I went to his dargah, stayed the whole day there once. In that manner, there were so many awliyas and Sufi faqis and saints, Hindu saints, Islamic saints, Sikhism, Buddhism, everywhere, whatever I could hear, see, I would go there. Because my aim was not because these are people are wearing different clothes, I will not go there. I would go and sit anywhere. And I understood and realized that the same truth is there in everywhere. It's not that here it is different, here it is different. Here what I experienced, suddenly the tears would come down the face. The same truth is there everywhere. So I realized that unity in everywhere. And then I took one decision. After this third turning point, I want to give up this world and devote my life only and only to the path of God. Just as this Roman Catholic saint, Saint Francis, Saint Bernard, Saint Assisi, just as Rabia or Mansur, just as Hindu saints like Ramakrishna or Chaitanya. There's a list of people, list of Sufi saints, list of Islamic saints. My life is not for myself. This one thing I realized. I have to do something which is for the world. So that spirit of sacrifice, I was fired. I cannot explain how passionate it was. It was a burning passion to serve the world, to serve the suffering humanity, to take all the souls back to the source, which is God, and who is lost. So with that burning passion, in this third period, third turning point, where I was silent and I underwent all the religious institution, almost everything, And not just that, as I said, I started following everything, whatever these people were doing. And on one side was medical studies, and the result came. And even the PG result came. But I took the decision. Now I saw two paths. One, patients, post-graduation, doing MD and serving them. This is one path. Second path, give up the world. Sannyas. And become like a fakir, or become like sadhu, or become like a sannyasi, or become like some saint, become like some tirthankar, something like that. So this is the two paths. I saw these two visions every day. Should I take this? Should I take that? This, that, this, that, this, that. And one day I realized, I want to give up medical profession. I can't. I have to search God. That is the thirst of the soul. I can't. But then where to go? I made the list of institutions, 50 institutions. Where I would go? A huge list. And in that, one list was this name of Brahma Kumaris, the last one. But I was unwilling to go because I would see only sisters there. And I did not want to go there. Who are sisters and who are staying there. I don't see any brothers staying inside. And I don't want to do that business of coming and going. If I go, I will go straight inside. A totally who is ultimately devoted only for God's work. That's it. That's why I was averse to this. My sister was there, who was also a doctor. Who is also a doctor. And she got attached to this Brahma Kumaris. And we had a fight every day. Because I was absolutely against it. I told her, it's because of you all the battles are fought in the name of religion. We used to have fight almost every day. But then after reading all the religious scriptures, I understood that, okay, let everyone worship his own majesty. You follow that, I'll follow this, fine. You go by that path, because ultimately we have to reach on the top. You go this way, that way, this way, any religion. Whatever. But with that background, and when I went home and I revealed to my parents that I am doing this, they were shocked. And I was stopped. For next 1.5 months, they didn't allow me to go anywhere. And about 150 people came and to convince me to stop, don't give up medical profession. They said, okay, you do this also, that also together. Religion also and medical profession also. I said, nothing doing. I am going. I cannot, this world is not for me. I am for a very higher purpose. My purpose is not to earn money, job, marriage, wife, children. This is not the purpose of my life. I have come for a very higher purpose. Something for the humanity. I want to give up my life for the humanity. That sense, that spirit got awakened within me. And I told them, I am going, as I chose one institution, Ramakrishna. That was a spiritual institution by Vivekananda. I said, I will join this. And even in that institution, I never talked with anyone. Never. I was just attracted by the simplicity. Their simple clothes, that's it. A simple living. That was what attracted me. And their renunciation, their tyag. That's what pulled me. And when I revealed it in my home, there was utter opposition and multiple things were done. So many horoscopes and so many things were. People came, stopped, and somebody came with his daughter and he said, she is doing MBBS, you are and doctor, so you both together have clinic and have an ashram, run together, do devotion and this and this and so many things. It's a big story. But I didn't listen to anyone. Not a single person. My father even wrote a letter to the Prime Minister of India. Please save me, the father of this. My son has been hypnotized by this institution. Please save this father. 6-page letter he wrote to the Prime Minister of India. So, and nothing could stop me. Because on one side, inside was a desire to know the truth. On second, intense love for God. Having read all these saints and their lives and how they sacrifice themselves. I wanted to do like them, just as they did. Nothing less than that. Just as they did, I want to do it. So ultimately, there's a big story in that. When I was not listening, my father ultimately said, I have bank loan. Who will pay that loan? That institution will pay. He said to the people who were there in the institution, are you going to pay? Then that person said me, the ashram people, you pay your father's money and then come. So my father took for me a job of medical officer in one hospital. I worked there 6 months. Every month, whatever salary I got, I put it in the bank to pay off their loan, because I wanted to of taking sannyas. Sannyas, you know, sannyas means to give up the world and to wear that. Yeah, so I had that desire to become something like that. Because that is all, I don't want anyone. What was my stage? I had told my parents, I don't want your clothes, I don't want your chappal, I don't want your footwear, I don't want anything of this world. I want only God, nothing else. Such a passion, divine passion, such a divine restlessness to know the truth, to know the ultimate. And I didn't know, even when I first entered Mount Abu in that Brahma Kumaris, I didn't know who are these sisters. Even if they're head of the institution, Dadi Janki and others, they would have come and convinced me, please come to us. I would never have come. Because I had 10 other philosophies with me, I would have broken each and every point of theirs. It was not the intellect, it was the heart. And I was studying all those things not to become a scholar. I had no desire to become a scholar. I had no desire to become some pandit. No, the desire was to know, but the desire was intense, so intense. I stayed there, as I said, in that hall. The next day, I was absolutely as if a different man. I came back home, I told my parents, it's cancelled, and they got very happy. And they got happy, as at least our son would remain doctor. But I told them, I'm going to Mount Abu, we have an hospital there. At present, I am working there as a consultant physician and intensivist. We have ICU and everything there. So I came back. That was in 2003. And I worked there for 1.5 years. And then again went back in some different state for doing post-graduation. And I joined back in 2010. So right from 2010 till now, I am there as at present working. So why I am telling you this journey? Because this journey of mine is not just my journey. It's a journey of soul to know the truth. For me, the truth was this. For you, the truth might have been something else also. But the journey has to be begun. Starting with curiosity, entering into silence, entering into solitude, into religious study, and then practices. Practices. Deep practices. There was a Muslim saint. He said, I am repenting from last 30 years for one sin which I committed. I am repenting from last 30 years for one sin which I committed. What was the sin? He said, 30 years back, I had a shop in the market. And suddenly once I heard there is a fire. Sudden outbreak of fire. And I rushed to see, and I was happy. Oh, my shop has not burnt, has not got burnt. He said, that was my soul. That was my sin. That means that, oh Allah, others' shops are getting burnt. It's okay with me. But mine did not got burnt. That's why I'm happy. He said, this is my sin. Now look at the level of his repentance or the subtlety of the mind. The deep realizations, how deeply we have realized. I have said something, but whether my word has hurt somebody, have I realized it? to be religious means to become an absolutely religious, receptive person. That because of me, not a single person in this world should feel hurt. Because of me, none of the person of this world should feel sorrowful. I should become blessing for them. That is what religion is. That is what religion, true religion is. I should become a blessing for humanity. My life should become like a flower. I should not become a thorn that would prick others and they would feel pain. That is what we are for. But what are we doing? What the humanity is doing in the name of religion? They are fighting. They are killing each other. Such barbarous nature, such inhuman treatment. One human being meting out to another human being. You know, if you study the history of humanity, there were periods where people were slaves. They were kept slaves. What was that respect for humanity? We are not here for that. Our life should become a blessing for others. Our life should be a life of satisfaction, deep satisfaction within me. And that will come only when I tread the path of morality, of principles. Outside world, you see the cinemas, the actors, the heroines, the actors. What they are showing outside is not the real truth. The truth is something. Look into their lives. They are frustrated within. They are not the real happy people. The real happiness is not in them. The real happiness is in discipline. The real happiness is in following spiritual principles. The real happiness in this love for God, divine love for God, intense love for God. And you know what is the way to know God? It is only when He tells, I am this, then only we will know Him. Without He Himself introducing, we will never know Him. One Sufi saint said, I searched God for 40 years and now I have got Him. I was thinking I was searching Him, but I was wrong. I was not searching Him. He was searching me. This is known as divine call. And each one of you, each one of us would one day receive that divine call. And once that call comes, you cannot stay in this world. You just rise above. Stay in the world means, I am not saying you give up the world. You stay in the world, but you become entirely different from others. You receive that divine call. That call has come. Now I want to do something. I want to do something for the world. That intense desire for world, that intense selfless desire. My father would say, oh, this all happened because of the books, and this happened because of this. All those things. But he did not know that something deeper has happened in the soul. It's not because of some reading something or something like that. It is the inner spirit has awakened. That's why such thoughts are coming. So he was far away from that. He understood later on. Now he is understanding what had happened to me that time. So each one of us is in the stage of journey. And your journey is your journey. I cannot interfere in that journey. I cannot tell you this is truth, that is truth. I will not tell you this is Brahma Kumaris, come to it and you will know the truth. If I tell you, don't believe me. If I tell you this is God, this is you, this is cycle, this is world, do not believe me. You have to find your own truth. Don't believe me at all in anything I tell. Because it is your own journey. It's a journey of your own soul. So search, 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 search. You know, somebody asked, what is spirituality? One Islamic saint said, spirituality means and more, and more, and more. This is the definition of spirituality. The definition of religion is and more, and more. Search more and more and more and more. Don't stop anywhere. Wherever you are stopping, that's just a milestone. Your destination is there. Don't think that you feel okay, you feel nice, you are fine in life. That's why this is the goal. That is not the goal. Spiritual discontent. Spiritual discontent should be there. Divine discontent. No, this is not the ultimate. Ultimate is something ahead. You have reached at one place. Oh, this is fine. I am feeling okay. My life is okay. My wife, my children, my family, my friends. This is not fine. There is something higher than this. I am not talking of worldly dissatisfaction. This is spiritual dissatisfaction. Higher stages of spiritual consciousness. So, one has to go from lesser light to higher light. We don't travel from darkness to light. We travel from lesser light to higher light. So let the journey begin from curiosity. Enter into silence. Enter into solitude. Enter into religious studies. Enter into practices of those religious studies. And then experience. Experience. And practical example of this, you know, go alone somewhere. Sit in some garden. Or near some sea beach. Look at the vast ocean. And just think, what is it? What is life? Self-talk. Self-talk. We have talked with the world a lot. Now it's a time to talk with oneself. Who I am, what I am, where from I am. Trying to understand your own reality. So, self-talk is one of the ways to discover oneself. Because everything in religion will come in the moments of silence. You are in the face of deep silence. Suddenly some truth will descend from above. And you will understand suddenly. A new understanding, a new real realm you will enter. This is what life is. Any other sharing from your side, brother? Everybody says that you come to us, otherwise you will perish. This is the only truth. This is the only God. What I believe, this is the God. Why? Because I am born in this family. That's why if I am born in Christianity, this church is the ultimate truth and Jesus is the ultimate truth. You come, otherwise you go to hell. This is what every religion says. You go to Jainism, Jain people will say, useless. Unless and until you come to us, there is no means of any escape. You go to Buddhism, they will say, Buddham Sharanam Gacchami. Come, surrender unto us. That is the only truth. Everybody, every potter praises his own pot. That's how it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was imagining this picture from the beginning. Imagine that only, I believe the longest period, as you said, is like around 300 years for the whole world, like evaluation and evolution, I mean, till we came to this point. Only 300 years is the longest period without any conflict, without any...
But that was a period for preparation.
Yeah, preparation for conflict. So honestly, it was very inspiring, like, to hear this and to know that we are all searching together through this journey for the peace, for the love, for the happiness, for the joy. And the best taking for me of today is how to remain, like when you said, there's two different vibes between when you go into a mosque, a temple, whatever religious place of worship, and when you go into an airport or some busy place, train station, bus station. It's very important to learn how to separate,
yeah,
how to create that detachment from worldly matters. And to be summing it up with the four steps that you went through, starting from the desire to know, being very inquisitive. And Sammy over here always used to tell me that you were the most guy that I knew is inquisitive. Like, I ask a lot and I'm detailed a lot. He actually said this to me how many times. So and then going into the silence after that, because these questions are for a reason. You're looking for something. And then going into the silence, then going, moving on to the solitude, and then finding your own practice, your own message, your own way, your own thing to do. So for me, this is the sharing, like the taking that I would take away, is to learn properly how to separate yourself from all the noise,
yeah,
and learn your true purpose, your true being, your main higher reason why you are brought into this earth. So this is it for me, and I thank you once again for such enlightenment.
Brother, anything from your side? You can take that.
I got a small question.
Yeah.
Which is, how does the change happens?
How to change habits? Now, first of all, you have to understand the mind. Our mind, there are no such divisions, but there are two parts, conscious mind and the subconscious mind. Habits are not in the conscious mind because they are automatic. And there are different layers even of the subconscious minds. And habits are somewhere here. And you know, in Hindi, there is another word which is known as sanskars. Sanskars are even deeper than habits. They are, you can say, deep-rooted habits. These things work automatically. You don't have to do anything. Habits are automatic. Now, any habit which has been formed, it's not easy to throw it out. You, for example, somebody is drinking alcohol from 30 years. You tell him, why don't you give up alcohol? He says, okay, I give up from today. But is that easy? Very difficult. Very difficult. Somebody is smoking from 30 years. And he says, okay, from today I give up. As Mark Twain said, it's very easy to give up smoking. I have done it many times. It is very easy to give up smoking. I have done it many times. Means he has not been able to do it. So habits are at a very deeper level. First, the understanding that suppose somebody is addicted to smoking or alcohol or any habit for that matter, sleeping late in the morning till 8 o'clock. So now he is sleeping till 8 o'clock every day from last 10 years. And suddenly you tell him, oh, you should get up in the morning and do some prayer. He said, okay, I'll do. One day he will do, next day again the same. So it's not that easy. First understanding is habits are very deep. There was one American author, James Allen. He narrates one event of his life. He says, once I was just sitting at a tea stall with my friends, and there was one person coming with some luggage on his head, and he was dangling, moving with a stuttering gait. And James Allen, who was sitting here, suddenly shouted, attention! And that man became attention and became like this, and everything fell down. What was luggage? So he came to him and he said, is it you who said attention? He said, yes, so what? Is it a sin to say attention in this country? He says, no, I am an ex-military man. And the moment you said attention, I became like that. And everything fell down. Why? Because it is habit. 30 years I was in military. So moment I hear attention, I became like that. He said that even if I die and I'm buried, and if you say attention, probably I might come out. So that was the force of habit. So one must understand first, in order to remove any habit, one must understand the accept that this is an habit with you. Acceptance. Yes, I am addicted to tea. Yes, I want sweet after food. Yes, I am addicted to internet. Yes, I am addicted to TV. Yes, I am addicted to cereals. Yes, I am addicted to chocolates. Chocolate addiction is a great addiction in the world. As I was saying in the morning also, a person who is addicted to chocolates, if he doesn't get chocolate for 3 days and he sees even the wrapper of the chocolate, suddenly he will be pulled towards it. That will remind him. So first thing for any habit, is to understand, accept that habit is there and it is a long-lasting one and it is not a one-day job. I am going to do it, but slowly, gradually. So first is the second decision to give up the habit. Now you have to take a strong decision. You have to decide that yes, I will give up this habit. And before, in that decision, there should be reasons, good reasons why you want to give it up. For example, you get up daily late in the morning. Now you want to get up, give up this habit. So you decide why? Because when I get up in the late in the morning, I reach late in the office. Every day my boss calls me. My children are not happy with me, or my friends are not happy, or my parents are not happy with me. So what are the damages because of that habit? Make a list of damages because of that habit is causing you. Any habit that could be. Anything. Anything, any habit under the sun. Make a list of damages because of that habit. So decision. Yes, I want to give it up. Why I want to give up? That should be very clear. That should not be a suppression sort of thing or a sweeping statement. I just want to give up this habit. Or why you want to give it up? That thing should be very much clear in front of you. So decide that I want to give it up. That is the second step. The third step of giving up any habit is visualization. For example, there was a man. He used to drink a lot. He had a daughter. His wife told him, unless and until you give up smoking, I am not going to allow you to see your daughter. And he used to love his daughter too much. So she took away the daughter. And now he is restless. So what he did some visualization. He saw imagination. I am playing with my daughter. In the garden, I am playing with my daughter. Now this will happen only when I give up drinking. So every day he made that imagination. So visualization is a very powerful tool. Very, very powerful tool. For example, there was one person, he was afraid of giving speeches or stage fright. The moment he would see the audience, gone. Whatever preparation done, everything forgotten. So what he did, sitting on the chair, reclining chair, every day, see an imaginary audience in front of you. 1 lakh people sitting and you are talking in front of them. Fearlessly. He did that. And ultimately he was able to get over that fear. So here also, if you want to get over any habit, visualize. See yourself that you have got rid of that habit. Visualize it in a very clear manner. Visualization, picturization, colorization. Color and picture. Make a picture of it. Put colors into it. Make it live. See it in your mind's eye. Yes, this is happening. I can see that, yes, I am a person who gets up early in the morning. I am a person who is unafraid. I am not affected by anything. Earlier I used to drink. Now even if somebody drinks, I feel nauseated. Earlier I was a chain smoker. Now I can't stand even any person sitting in front of me and smoke. That sort of things should happen. So visualize. And the next step is affirmation. Affirmation means positive statements. There are three types of affirmations. First, present, future, natural. Present tense, future tense, natural. For example, I have given up alcohol. I am giving up alcohol. First statement. Second, soon I will give up alcohol. Soon I will get rid of alcohol. And fourth, third is natural. It's so easy to get rid of alcohol. So these are the statements you have to tell your mind. Three ways. It's very, for example, your relationship is not good with somebody. Every day there is a fight. For every small thing, there is a fight. Now how do you make affirmation? My relationship with her or him are getting better every day. Today it has got better than yesterday. Future. Soon we are going to have a very good relationship. These thoughts you are creating within you. So that the thoughts, vibrations will reach that person. It's so natural to have good relationships. We are moving from bitterness to betterness. So three ways, these are the ways of affirmation. So you accept that yes, you are addicted. You decide that you want to give up. You visualize. You do affirmations. Then aversion therapy. Aversion therapy create hatred for it. Create hatred. Hatred. Hatred for it. Dislike for it. For example, you have the habit of getting up late. You create dislike for this. Create dislike. Create hatred for it. No, I don't want it. I don't like it. This is a very bad habit. Every time I speak, some poison only come out of my mouth. People don't like such people who spew venom. People like those people who speak sweet, mellifluous words. So I want to become like a person who is charming, who is loving, who is loved by everybody. If I have that attitude of egoistic attitude that I am holier than thou attitude, people might not love me. People not like me. So develop dislike, strong hatred for the habit which you want to give up. Is it some addiction? Is it TV? It's anything it could be. Anything. Create an aversion for it. And then search a motivation source for you. Search a motivation. Find out those people who were addicted earlier and now they give up. I will tell you example of one brother. Recently in Mount Abu, one brother had come from Nepal. You know, this young brother, he was drug addict, afim, ganja, charas, everything would be filled. He had tattoo here. He was like big hair like that. He was like, you know, some goon with his bikes and with his friends. He would roam around here and there and all that thing. He was out and out uncontrolled person and very rich in family. No restrictions on anything. And whole day, charas, ganja, afim, all those addictions. There was not a single drug addict, anything which he had not tried. And he would move out and go in the jungle and meet those sadhus and get something from them also, everywhere. And then he came in contact with Brahma Kumaris, one sister who came in his house. And some transformation started happening in him. And he narrated recently that ultimately I whole night I was crying, what I am doing suddenly. And then one day he decided, no, I will not take it anymore. So he kept 10 packets of charas in his packet and he said, but I will not touch it. It's there in his pocket, but he decided I will not even touch it. And he stayed like that for a whole day. And next day he gave up. So that was a story of transformation, sudden transformation. Such thing can happen in rare cases, very rare cases where there is a very strong motivation. Where you feel somebody, feel some sister, she is so pure. You look at her, you feel the purity of her face. You look at her, you feel the strength of her character. So an immoral person suddenly feels, oh, what I am doing? I should become like this sister. I should become like this brother. They are so morally pure. Their character is so exalted. And we are at a loose character. So a person at a lower end looks at the higher. He feels, oh, I should become like him. So you should have some role model in front of you. So search a motivation. Search a motivation for yourself. And then... Yeah. Sometimes. This is in medical therapy. This is known as aversion therapy. Averse means you develop dislike. Sometimes, you know, you are doing something and suddenly you realize it is wrong. So you develop very strong hatred. So this hatred itself becomes a motivation. Or this motivation could be some person. Like you read something, something about somebody and you feel, yes, I have to become like this. They are living so simple lifestyle. Their life is so beautiful, so pure. There is no show off. I want to become like that. Some motivation. And then next is planning. Now plan. Plan. You have to make a plan for 3 days, 7 days or 21 days. Anything. But make a plan for 3 days. For example, somebody is fat, obese. Now she or he wants to reduce weight. So firstly, start for 3 days planning. Yes, I will not eat sweets. I will not eat oily things. I will not eat all those fast foods. I will have a simple diet for 3 days. Once you are successful, 3 days, next new habits. Now you have to replace always. You have to always replace. Don't just give up and then you are stranded. You should have new positive habits with you. So make a planning and then last implement it. And then next again analyze. After 7 days, see how many times I failed. For example, you took the oath that I will not eat chocolates for 3 days. See back. Now how many times I still ate. So again reanalysis. So this is a huge process. So most important thing I will say is affirmation and visualization. See yourself. Yes, I am seeing myself at this person who is fret from this habit. So visualization, affirmation, keep on telling yourself, keep on telling yourself, keep on telling yourself. So this affirmation is very, very important. So these are the two very important steps. All others are there, but these are two very important steps. So what, to give up any habit in the world, and to acquire new habit, the same things are needed. Okay, decision is there, why you want to do it, accept it. First important is this, accept. Otherwise people don't accept only. They said, no, we are not addicted to tea. If you ask him, do you drink a lot of tea? Oh, sometimes. But even if it is not available, it is okay. But they have never tried that when it is not available. Because it is always available. So there is no question that it is not there. It is always there and they are addicted to it. The latest addiction is the, you know, in India, one girl was admitted in the hospital for what? Texting addiction. Texting to send SMS. That also became an addiction. So she was admitted to give up that. She would text 6 hours, 8 hours texting. Anything can become addiction for that matter. So accept, decide, visualize, affirmation, aversion therapy, find motivation, plan, implement, and then reanalysis. After 7 days, after 21 days, and one more thing, last thing, at least 21 days are needed for any habit to form. At least 21 days. There is a book in English, Psycho-Cybernetics. Psycho-Cybernetics, it was released in 1950. This book first of all mentioned about the 21 day experiment. The author of the book, Maxwell, he was earlier a psychologist, earlier a surgeon, then he became plastic surgeon, and then he became psychologist. So he wrote, whenever people would undergo plastic surgery of face, so it took them about 21 days to accept the new face. That was his experiment. He understood from his patients that it took at least 21 days. First. Second, when people went amputation, so they would feel they have the limb, phantom limb, and they would start walking and fall. It took them about 21 days to accept that we have been amputated. That leg is not there. Second. Third, when you go to a new room, new place to stay, you take at least 21 days to fully accept that this is my house. Minimum they say 3 days it takes to adjust. Otherwise people go to new place and they don't get sleep. New hotel, new place. They say, so this is a very magical figure, 3 weeks. Any day, every day you start waking up at 5 a.m. for next 21 days. Automatically you will get up at 5 a.m. In Mount Abu, where we are there, our group has to practice to get up at 2 a.m. in the morning. This is the time we get up. At one go it up is, oh, so strange. How is it possible? Then when do you sleep? That's the next question. And how many hours you sleep? But once you make anything as a habit, it works automatically. As I said, habit is in their subconscious mind. So you can create any habit you want. You can give up any habit you want. So creating and defeating any habit takes 21 days. Strong determination is needed. Good company is needed. Some motivation is needed. Find out people who have done it. Seek them. Search them. And they will become motivation and you will be able to do it. Anything it could be. If people have done, we can also do. If one person can do, whole world can do it. That is the principle. If one person has done, all others can do. There's nothing like that. He is superior or I am inferior. So that is about habits. Anything? Which one? Reanalysis. Once 7 days you have done it, now you sit and analyze yourself. You analyze yourself. Okay, whether it is I have done it nicely or not. Self-checking means.
Regarding to affirmation, you told there is three statements. Present, future, and natural. So which is more effective?
Natural.
Natural, right? And also I think it's it will be more effective when we follow for 21 days. Is it?
It's, you start with small. Any new habit, start small. That is one principle. Start with 3 days. Do it for 3 days. And if you are successful, do it for 7 days. And if you are successful, do it for 21 days. And two more steps you can add in that. 9th, 10th step, start small. Start small. And 10th, 11th step, reward yourself once you are successful. 3 days if you have done it. Wow, wow, wow. Very good. Very nice. You pat yourself. Reward yourself. Very nice. I have done for 3 days. Now I will do it for 7 days. Now do for 7 days. 7 days? Excellent. Only twice I fell down. But 7 days otherwise were okay. 2 days I couldn't. But other 5 days were okay. So pat yourself. So reward yourself. So that is also one of the things. So reward yourself. Praise yourself. The whole world is ready to blame us. At least you yourself can praise. People are doing blame culture. Is busy in blame culture. You know which is the most played game in the world? The game which is played the most in the world. It's not blame game, yes. It is not cricket. It's not football. It is the blame game. Everybody is busy blaming each other. Politics, religion, or any field of the world. Any department you go. Pointing fingers. You. It's because of you. It's all this happening because of you. You should have understood. You should have done it. Don't you understand this simple thing? It's all because of you. We failed. Our company failed.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, our teacher said she said that when we are going to any mental setting, all the patients who have complained of depression, bipolar, and whatever, they are always like pointing on you that you are the one who made me like, or you are the one who makes me like this. So she also teach us the acceptance, like I am accepting the blaming of others. Mm. Because if I give them the reaction of like I am blaming you, I am like doing a double harm to them. So it's the principle of acceptance also.
Yeah. So, you know, I would not talk on this, but I want you to study this. Every person must study this, cognitive distortions. There are about 15 to 20 types of cognitive distortions. Cognitive distortions. You can go on internet and search what are they and what is the detail of each one of them. This is so important, so important. One of the cognitive distortion is blaming others. Another cognitive distortion is generalization. If suppose you came late today, I will say, all people, they are all like that only. They all come late. There's whole communities like that. His father was like that, his mother was like that, the whole family is like that. So they make a generalized statement. So that is known as generalized. There is another like emotional reasoning. I feel, that's why it must be truth. I feel, it is truth. So that is one of the cognitive. There are 15 cognitive distortions like that. You must study this on your own. You can go on internet, you can get. And lot many are there like that. You should improve. Then only I will become happy. You must change. Then I will become happy. Means my happiness depends upon yours. You are not changing, that's why I am not happy. My cause of unhappiness is because you are reluctant to change. You change, I will become happy. That is also one of the cognitive distortions. Emotional reasoning, cognitive, like there are 15-20 cognitive distortions. And I think everybody must study them and see, peep within ourselves. Am I suffering from this cognitive distortion? Cognitive means about thought, distortion means perversion. Pervert thinking, wrong types of thinking. These are the types of thinking. And we usually, some or other, at other, one other time, we keep doing one of these. Okay, so I think we should call it today. The discussion is endless. The whole day will go in talking. But as I said, silence. Here you get all the answers. Here you get all the answers. Not in any speech. Speech is nothing in front of this. The deepest secrets are in silence. So enter into that silence and come out with pearls of knowledge, understanding, experience. Okay. Thank you. Om Shanti.